You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible. It's Thursday, October 22nd. The Chicago Bears are looking to improve to 6-1 on the year here in just a few short days on Monday Night Football against the 4-2 LA Rams in the biggest game of the season to date. I'm Russ Woodwitt. I'm sitting here with my co-host Nicholas Moriano, and if you're like us, I bet you cannot wait for MNF. How you doing, Nick?
Doing well, Will. How about yourself?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. This week's going by pretty quick, which is exciting. We get a full weekend in front of us, and then we get to do a Bears game on Monday night, which is always fun. I know that Tuesday morning I'm going to be groggy, and it's going to be hopefully worth it. We'll talk about that throughout this show, but I did mention, as we all know, no game on Sunday. Do you have any special Sunday plans without the Bears, or are you just going to watch other NFL action?
Yeah, I think my girlfriend and I are going to go out to breakfast. I'm a big breakfast guy, and I usually don't get to go out to eat. Like you know, Will, I don't eat during games, so I try to have a good breakfast before. So we're going to live it up, maybe go to Wildberry. I don't know if you know what that is, Will.
I went there. It's a good place. Are you doing the one like up there, like downtown Chicago, up there by the lake?
There's actually one in Libertyville, and that's where actually a lot of Bears players will go to hang out and eat. They won't be there probably this week because they should be in L.A., but yeah, I plan on going to Wildberry, getting some breakfast, and then just probably watching football for the remainder of the day. What about you?
That's some great stuff. Probably just hanging out with the kid, going outside playing football, watching football. We have some dinosaur crafts that we're going to work on as well, but yeah, Wildberry. I went there the day after I got married for breakfast because I got married in Chicago, so we went there for our next morning meal, which was delicious. So it's really good. You're making some good decisions there, Nick, and I'm excited to hear about that report on Monday. We won't even talk Bears football. We'll just sit there and we'll talk about breakfast. I'm sure that's what everyone wants to tune in for. But we do have, honestly though, Nick, a very big game here to talk about between the Bears and the Rams. Third meeting in 3 years between these two teams. Lots to discuss and dissect. Are you ready to kind of get going?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, beginning like we always do, let's talk about just our initial perception of the Rams. For me, Nick, every week, the last 3 weeks, a good test is the way to look at this team. They're the only team in the NFL right now in the top 10 in offense as well as in defense. So this Rams team, they're good defensively, but I don't think they're the best defense that we face so far this year. And honestly, when I'm looking at the Rams, I know what they pose in terms of a threat on offense. I think everyone does. But the most important thing that I wanted to mention here, as I'm just looking at my perception and looking at just at the season flow and where things are, they're probably real pissed off from how they played against the 49ers. And I don't like playing good teams that are pissed off. And that's what worries me the most, is like their attitude coming into the game. Because I think if they beat the 49ers, maybe they take the Bears easy. But now with them on a loss, a game that they think they should have won, going up against the Bears, who now have the second best record in the NFC, Rams have the third, I think they're going to have a little bit more fight in them. Not that they wouldn't anyway, but I think a little bit extra inside that tank. And we'll talk about it if it's enough or not. But overall, like I said, another really good test for the Bears to find out how they stack up here in our conference. How about you?
Yeah, it's definitely a good test. And look, there's extra motivation for an Aaron Donald who was on SportsCenter earlier this week. He's never sacked Nick Foles, and they asked him about that. He's like, oh, thanks for the extra motivation. It's like, oh, great. Now, arguably the best defender of football has extra motivation against a Bears offensive line. But we'll get into it. Initial perception, though, this is a team that has 4 wins and against the NFC East. So I have a mixed bag of what this Rams team is. And last week against 49ers, I think it's the first time I've really ever seen this, Will, both teams, the 49ers and the Rams, they didn't have a sack. So I couldn't get a feel of how good this Rams defense really was or how good it isn't. And then also this Rams offensive line, how good it is against the pass rush, because everybody was a stalemate. So, and like I said, it's a mixed bag. They lose to the good teams that they played so far. They beat the NFC East, and a lot like the Bears. Are they for real? And I think this Monday night matchup is really going to prove it, and we'll definitely get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, this matchup that we're expecting to be probably pretty ugly, but we'll definitely get into it.
Yeah, I know our guest on the previous episode called it the NFC Least. I think the Rams, though, looked at it as like the NFC Feast.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to put it. Anybody that faces any of those teams. But you mentioned it, Will, and I think you're correct on your analysis of the Giants. I think they're better than maybe the perception of the whole entire division. But, yeah, it's definitely not a good one, and it's a good way to rack up some wins.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll see how these translate over. But let's go ahead, take another step forward, another step inside of this game. And let's look at some of the bigger offensive talking points just this week. And I want to warn our listeners to kind of just brace themselves, because we're going to rip off the Band-Aid. And we're going to begin by taking a look at the Chicago Bears offensive line this week, as it's definitely the hottest topic surrounding this 5-1 team. And arguably, it's the unit that can hold this team back the most. And I don't think I need to dive into all the numbers, but just in case you wanted to know, Cody Whitehair has given up the second most pressures at center with 15. Charles Leno Jr. has given up the 8th most pressures at tackle with 16. Jermaine Ifedi, he's given up the 14th most pressures at guard with 12. Bobby Massey, he's 16th in pressures allowed at tackle with 13. So obviously, they're struggling up front to protect the quarterback. On top of that, we already know just how poor the run blocking has been. You really can't find much positive right now in the play of the offensive line. To me, something needs to change. Something has to be done. And Nick, I know you and I were, you know, formulating how we wanted to frame this conversation and wondering, does it make sense to go out in the market and get someone like a Quentin Spain, who was released by Buffalo this week? I know a lot of Bears fans and media are very, curious about that potentiality as well. Or something that I've started to explore in my head that I haven't heard anyone talk about yet is maybe you give Arlington Hambright, our rookie lineman, a look, because Coward is bad. And I don't think it can get much worse. And the fact that they think higher of Coward over Bars, to me, is a concern for both of those players. So for me, I don't know, Nick, it's one of those things that I just don't think it's going to get better with time this year. It's something that I just feel like a change is needed, but that could just be me here on this podcast. Where's your headspace of this Bears offensive line, the unit today, and if it does make sense to shake things up or keep it status quo? I mean, I know they are altering and shifting without life, without James Daniels, but still, what I saw was so bad, I would honestly try anything else.
Yeah, so, Will, I have my notes from the Bears and Panthers game, and Rashad Coward comes up a lot on those notes, and nothing is good, to be completely honest. It's what you see from him is the lack of experience playing a left guard position, just being very hesitant and knowing who's his guy that he actually has to block, and if you are a step slow playing football, you're gonna ruin a play. And there's so many instances where Rashad Coward was a step slow that a play didn't have any chance. So there, I wouldn't mind seeing an Alex Barrs there. It can't hurt, because Rashad Coward played that bad. But I'll say this: maybe this will help, having Juan Castillo actually in the building, on the field, there to kind of help out this offensive line as the game's kind of progressing. He wasn't there in Carolina. He was at home. I forgot which coach had to actually take the responsibilities for coaching up the offensive line, but it wasn't Juan Castillo. And we saw through the first 2 weeks what it could potentially do. You lost James Daniels. We all know that. I think he does help just having him there, but not to the degree to where we're going to feel comfortable. And if the Bears are going to go out and put the same game plan, what they did against the Panthers and even the 2 weeks prior to that, the Bears are going to get whooped. And there's Aaron Donald, like I just said, who has extra motivation. If he is ever lined up, head up, or even an inside-outside shade on Rashad Coward, just kind of teleport Aaron Donald in the backfield, because that's where he's going to end up eventually. Because that's how good he is, and that's how bad Rashad Coward is, and he need help. And you can't relegate everybody that you have, everybody and your grandmother, to one guy, because there are, what, 10 other guys on the defense. So it is that bad. I wouldn't mind seeing something change. I don't know if Arlington Hambright is the answer, but look, I'm willing to look at any option because it was that bad last week. And it wasn't even just Rashad Coward. Like, on the play that Nick Foles threw an interception on, literally every lineman lost their battle. It was incredible. Like, it's you shouldn't, everybody shouldn't lose their the battle up front on one play, but they did. And he has to throw, it's still a bad decision by Foles, but that was consistently happening regardless of who you looked at. I just pointed out Rashad Coward because he was the worst out of all of them.
No, I'm not saying Hambright's the answer. I just think that, again, it can't be worse. You drafted him for a reason. He made it your active roster for a reason. And again, if you don't trust Bars, even though I thought we saw better play out of Bars than we did with Coward last week, I don't know. To me, it's just poor decision-making, again. And I don't understand why it's obvious to us. So maybe it's not as crystal clear as it seems, and that's fair. I mean, I understand it can be complex up there, especially at the NFL level. But when Bars looked like he was someone who was getting more comfortable with all the snaps in that game after Daniels went down, and then you have Coward come in, and from start to finish, seemed like he was just getting worse, or he just couldn't even get good at one point. To me, it's a concern. And you talked about the Aaron Donald factor of this week. They did go after each other a year ago in that game when Coward was at right guard, and there was a lot of instances where that matchup wasn't boding well for the Bears either. And I'll have more on this as we get later on the show, so I don't want to give too much away right now. But like you, Nick, I do think Juan Castillo being back is going to be helpful. I think throughout the week, you miss his energy if you're that unit. He's your leader. He's your guy. You miss that energy. But I think most importantly, in games, for those in-game adjustments, you don't have someone there with the pedigree, the knowledge, the expertise to go ahead and make the appropriate adjustments. So they were kind of, you know, driving blind a little bit. I mean, kudos to the coach that stepped in for him, but you're not going to be nearly at the same level as a Juan Castillo. So I hope that does help, like you said. Is there anything else on the offense line that you want to discuss right now, or did we want to move on? We have another concern that we need to discuss next.
Yeah, no, I think with the offensive line, let's just see what happens on Monday night. But their performance last week against Carolina, if they consistently do that, Nick Foles he's going to be in trouble.
Yeah, nope, there's no doubt Nick Foles is going to be in trouble. The lack of a run game is going to put him in more dire straits as well. So it'll be very interesting, something to watch out for us as Bears fans next week and honestly for the rest of the year. But let's go ahead, Nick. I mean, let's not be shy this week. Let's double down our concerns here with this Bears offense. And let's look at wide receiver, specifically Anthony Miller. He does already have the same amount of touchdowns that he did all of last season. That's great. And he's also kind of catching the same percentage of his targets. That's fine. But his yards per game is as low as it was during his rookie season. He's only averaging 28.2 yards per game. And he's only averaging about 4 targets per game as well. And that's down from 5.5 a season ago, and he only had 8 yards on 3 catches last week against Carolina. And he's been out there a decent amount. He saw only 40% of snaps in the first 2 weeks, but he's been seeing closer to about 60% over the last few games. And that's something where on the postgame shows, Nick, you're like, where's Anthony Miller at? I don't even see him out there. And then we get into the week, you look at the snap counts, you rewatch the film, and you find out he's out there more than you would expect, which I think is a pretty big concern as well. Throughout the week, I've been debating personally what reasonable expectations, and we do this in Countdown to Camp, what are reasonable expectations for all the Bears players, and I'm trying to recalibrate mine for Anthony Miller. Are we expecting to see his role on this offense? Should we expect more out of him? Should we demand more out of him? Can he become a consistent week-in, week-out factor on offense like we've once thought, or do we need to accept that this is probably the Anthony Miller normal where we're going to get sporadic production? And I think, and honestly, maybe we need to just accept it. So let's recalibrate here on Anthony Miller, Nick. What are those reasonable expectations for him? And again, former second round pick, and ideally we don't even have to have these kind of conversations.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a pick that the Bears moved up to go get Anthony Miller too. So I think at this point, and look, it's not set in stone. He's only in his third year, right, Will? So it's nothing set in stone. But what he has consistently shown throughout his career is that he has these ups, these high marks where he'll have a 2-3 game maybe stretch where he's consistently getting the football, maybe getting in the end zone, being a factor on offense. But then he has those stretches where, like, I think that he doesn't even play as much on the field, but then you look at the snap counts, like you said, and he has the same number of snap counts as Darnell Mooney last week in the Carolina game. So I think for fans, I would say realistically you should lower expectations. The offensive line's not going to help keep Nick Foles upright, so he's not even going to get to maybe that progression anyway. But I think with Anthony Miller, he wins on his routes, so he should be a guy that gets open. And he does. I think he does, but for some reason, whether it is just trust or lack of just executing a play, getting the right depth on a route, that's what's gotten Miller off the field and taking that trust from the coaching staff out of him. And that's why we're seeing more targets, receptions, and just, I think, more reliability out of Darnell Mooney right now. So I think we do have to lower him. And that's sad to say because I think this is supposed to be the year. This is supposed to be the year that Anthony Miller breaks out and actually becomes that number two. It just hasn't been that way, and I think that given all the question marks on this offense right now, specifically the offensive line, it doesn't help him, but he's not helping himself. He's dropped the football a couple of times. He's ran the wrong depth at routes, and has lost, I think, the coach's trust a little bit. So I think we lower our expectations. What about you?
You have to. I mean, if you don't, I think we're going to just be more frustrated with him. If we lower those expectations and we just understand maybe he'll get hot at one point this season for a stretch. But who knows? And with Nick Foles, I mean, we haven't really seen what they can do together right now. We saw the touchdown very first game when Nick Foles came in at the half or after the half and led the comeback with that, you know, really great play to cap it all off. But outside of that, not a lot. Again, 3 catches last week, 3 for 3 in the targets, but 8 yards. That's not going to cut it. That's not impactful game at all. And for me and Anthony Miller, you know, you said this is the year he's supposed to step into that wide receiver 2 role. He didn't do it. That's now Darnell Mooney's job. Easy discussion done. And I don't even know if he's a number 3 option right now at the receiver spot. I don't think the Bears like using a 3rd receiver too much. I mean, they don't use it often. They like to look to the running backs right now. They're tight ends right now, and there's not a true number 3 threat that's a consistent one. Maybe that could be Miller, but as of right now, maybe once every few weeks or at some points this season, yes, but he's not someone where I would hang my hat up on, you know, going into a game like this is going to be the Anthony Miller game or this is a game where he can break out. I think it's a crapshoot at this point to even know when or when he won't be available to play. And I told you there was a play still in that last game where he just kind of gave up on it. He wasn't involved in it. Play goes to Jimmy Graham, and he's walking back to the huddle, not assisting his guy. And those are still small, little subtle nuances that doesn't show me if he can be a, you know, a team first kind of guy, a player you want out there on the field. And I don't know if it's a guy that people can like rally around and if he's having that kind of an attitude. So for me, a lot of things, a lot of concerns here with Anthony Miller. And I guess we'll have to keep an eye on that one too. But I figured entering this 7th game now, I think it's starting to put some cement into it, understanding of he's just not that player that we're hoping he could be.
Yeah, and it's sad to say, but that's reality. At this point in time, now going to week 7 of the 2020 NFL season, that's what Anthony Miller's shown. So unless he changes that narrative, it's going to be like that.
Unless he goes forward when he catches the ball at the sticks and move and gets that first down, you know, it's small things like that that really I can see why you lose trust in him. I mean, as a fan, I would lose trust, and as a player, as a coach, I would as well, especially if it's a consistent issue with like the details. And we all know and we've heard how big the details are to this offense, and honestly, every NFL offense, details are huge. All right, Nick, let's quit harping though. Let's end our offensive discussion with a positive, and that's going to be Cole Kmet. We're all so ecstatic come, you know, at the end of last game to get some production out of him against Carolina. And now it wasn't a ton, 2 catches, 20 yards, a touchdown, but he did see a season-high 35% of the offensive snaps. Then the Bears decided that, you know what, after that first half, that was enough. We'll go ahead and we'll play more Demetrius Harris. Harris, he did see a season low in his snap share. So, Nick, as we move forward throughout this season, I think the hope is that the Bears would allow Kmet to take some of the snaps away from Harris. And I know Harris, he's more of a run blocker, but even in that regard, I've seen plays on film where he's not nearly lights out in that regard either. So what I think is frustrating is watching, for us as fans, Nick, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, though, is watching some meaningful snaps, some meaningful targets go Harris's way in some crucial situations just to have him drop the ball both literally and figuratively. So for you, what are your thoughts on how the Bears can best utilize particularly Cole Kmet, but really the tight ends in general as we kind of march forward now almost halfway through the season?
Yeah, I think it starts with getting Demetrius Harris off the football field. Like, let's be completely honest. And you mentioned the run blocking. This is what he was supposed to come in and help with. I have it multiple times in my notes where he doesn't even come close to blocking his guy. And the one that really frustrates me the most is on the flea flicker. If you watch, Nick Foles kind of rolls to his right a little bit. The pocket's moving that way. It looks like it's actually blocked up pretty well. Demetrius Harris stops blocking his guy. I don't know why. It's a flea flicker. This play takes longer to, you know, unfold. He stops blocking Will, and I almost lost it just kind of watching. And then seeing that Javon Wims ran a pretty good double move. He did, and I think there's space enough for Nick Foles, given that one of his best strengths is the deep ball, could have put that ball into Javon Wims' hands and given the Bears a big play. But Demetrius Harris just stops blocking. So the first step, getting Demetrius Harris to continue that trend with lower snap counts. And let's see what Cole Kmet can do. Even on the touchdown play, you know, off the Bears turnover, that interception, you see Cole Kmet running, I think, is a good route because he's able to bend and the linebacker is trying to adjust him a little bit. But Cole Kmet doesn't let that phase him. It still stays his course, uses that big 6'6" body to corral the football. So I think he's a little bit more nimble than people give him credit to for, because he is a big guy, and you know, you just think that, hey, you can't really run routes downfield, but I think he can, and we need to see more opportunities to do so. And on the other reception he had, he catches the ball, he's kind of dragging a guy with him. Mm-hmm. So he has that yards after the catch capability. And just last week against the 49ers, the Rams, well, it's George Kittle, arguably the best tight end in the game, he was doing some damage against them. I'm not making the comparison or anything, but I'm just saying that there could be opportunities. So I think we just need to let Cole Kmet, like we were talking on the guest podcast yesterday, Will, that Mitch Trubisky was sheltered, right? Don't shelter this guy. Let this guy experience his rookie season. Let him run routes. Let him block. Let him have those ups and downs. That's what's going to happen, especially for a rookie tight end. So just let Cole Kmet loose. I think only good things can come from it. He's going to learn a lot anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the best way to learn is through experience, for good or for bad. You can learn more from failure than you can from success, and honestly, more from being on the field than off the field. So with you, hopefully we can get Kmet more acclimated to this offense. We're seeing it slowly chip away, and it's not one where I think in within a week it totally flips on a dime, but if they can just keep this consistency up where he is getting a little bit more involved week in, week out, until we find that good volume share for him, that'd be what I'm hoping for here. All right, let's switch over to the Bears defense so we can put some smiles on our face. All right, that feels better now. And honestly, this Bears defense, they've been providing just a ton of excitement, and that's over the last few weeks, just because we're starting to see guys really starting to step and heat up. You have Mario Edwards starting to become a real pass rush threat. Bilal Nichols, he's improving. He's holding down the nose better than earlier this season. Danny Trevathan is looking more normal than he did earlier in the year. Roquan's coming off a tremendous game. DeAndre Houston Carson, he's icing games. And Nick, early on in this season, when we were doing these shows, all the talk and praise went to the Bears secondary. They're really the strength of this team, this unit. And that still may be the case, but right now the front seven is starting to make its presence felt too. So with all the players now seeming like they're starting to come into their own, and Nick, this may be a loaded question, but let's enjoy it. Is the fun just getting started with this Bears defense?
I think so, Will. I mean, because in the first couple of weeks, it was a secondary really playing the most consistent and just best football for this Bears team, and they were still winning and still playing good defense despite the pass rush not being as effective. But what you've seen the past 2 weeks, this is where I think the Bears' potential to be elite is really at. When they have that pass rush combined with good tackling from their inside linebackers and just being able to get sideline to sideline, and then that secondary, which has had points taken away from them from pick sixes from A. Jackson, that's the recipe to see this defense really just get started. And we're starting to see all the pieces come together, and it's happening more consistently now. I'm now watching games like, okay, is this the time where they're going to get an interception? Are they going to get to the quarterback? I'm expecting it. Mm-hmm. I can tell you this. In the beginning of the season, I didn't feel that way, especially with the pass rush, just how it was playing. But these last 2 weeks, it feels like a little reminiscent of 2018, where you're expecting to see some of those big plays. So I think, like you, Will, it is just getting started, and that is so exciting because they've been phenomenal. So if it's just getting started, good luck, offenses. Seriously, good luck.
I mean, out of all the players I mentioned, we still haven't mentioned Robert Quinn yet, and we're hoping there's a lot more brewing underneath that to get some killer production out of him. And I don't want to get back to the negative side and get dark and doom and gloom again, because he's not putting up the sacks. He's getting some decent pressures, and pressures that are leading to some really big plays, and that has its own value. I don't know if that's $30 million guaranteed value yet, but I think that almost like what Nick Foles said right after the game, where it's like, if we were playing the best we can now and we are barely winning games, then what's there to get excited about? But knowing there's a lot more potential is what is the most exciting. And I think that's almost the same with the Bears defense, not to the same degree because we're already playing at a high level, but knowing that there is, I think, more potential to unlock and to tap into as we go through this season. I think everyone agree that we have not seen this Bears defense even play their best game yet this season, play a full four quarters to really dominate an offense yet. And I think we know there's more. And I think that's what should excite Bears fans a lot, is knowing that we have to still get more production out of a Quinn. Khalil Mack hasn't taken over a complete game just yet. And just Roquan Smith, Andy Trevathan, how they've been kind of coming into the realm, I think they're going to get better as the season wears on too. So for me, yeah, Nick, I mean, the fun is just getting started. We'll talk about if this is another week where we can keep rolling. But for the better part of the rest of this season, I'm starting to get my confidence back that I think we all would admit was a little shaken early on in the year, especially with that run defense. But right now, that's coming back. I'll talk about some numbers that kind of show that later on in the show. But yeah, I'm excited to see how everyone can continue to grow and build together. And we've talked about how the defense is like a well-oiled machine, or when it is, when the front seven or the front line is helping out the inside backers, who then also help out the secondary. It's really awesome to watch. It's super cohesive, and I think we're starting to see that. Saw that last week against Carolina, and expect to see more of it, I think more consistently too, which the Bears have been a lot of bend, don't break. Maybe we started getting to some games where they're not even bending as much, which that would even take things to that next level. Anything else in just the general direction that this defense is heading?
You know what? I think it's also exciting that in the past two games, at least, Akeem Hicks, his name hasn't been seen as much maybe on the stat sheet. He hasn't had any sacks, but still, this defense is dominating. And he was obviously on a tear the first couple of weeks of the season. And maybe it could be a multitude of things, but you have also Akeem Hicks more into the equation now with the past 2 weeks. Like, it's dangerous. I think Chuck Pagano's just done a good job, too, of really implementing a bunch of stunts. We saw that a lot happen in the Carolina game, and that really worked for Robert Quinn. Whoever was really matched up with him being the person coming around on that stunt, Bilal Nichols, that first sack of the game, that's benefiting this Bears front seven, having a huge impact. But I just like what they're doing right now, and hopefully it continues throughout the rest of this season.
Yeah, again, we're only entering now the week number seven, and when you look back at 2018 numbers, besides turnovers, this Bears defense is doing, and against the run, but in terms of like points and points allowed and red zone efficiency, they're doing better this year than they were in 2018. And we already talked about the offense, but if they can just figure it out a little bit more, this season can get it's already been a lot of fun, but it can get tremendously exciting as we go through the remainder of it. But we talked about them as a unit, and we talked about early on this season, we talked a lot about the secondary. But I do want to focus on them for just a moment here, because last week we talked about what the Panthers were bringing to the table, that was going to be their biggest test. And I believe, Nick, tell me if I'm wrong, but they passed the test.
They passed the test with flying colors.
They gave up some yards, specifically Buster Skrine, Jalen Johnson. They allowed production, but I think we knew production was going to happen. But Fuller and Eddie Jackson, they were as locked down as they come. One target between the two of them, 5 yards allowed. I mean, that's big time. Fuller last week practically cut the field in half, and Jackson, we know, can really limit where quarterbacks can go with the football just due to his instincts, his range, and his ability to track down the ball. So when I'm looking at Fuller, someone who typically sees the lion's share of the targets from any quarterback any given week, QBs have typically stayed away from him over the last few weeks, which is a trend that I wasn't expecting to see. We've really rarely seen that here in Chicago. So, Nick, you may not know, but I'm curious your thoughts. Do you think quarterbacks, they're finally learning their lesson that maybe they shouldn't test Fuller? Or do you expect the Rams this week to go after number 23 a little bit? Or do you think this may become the new trend where offenses look elsewhere?
You know, I've never understood in the first place why quarterbacks consistently targeted Kyle Fuller. He's just a guy that always usually plays 7-8 yards back and allows his instincts to make a lot of plays, and that's why he's in position to get these clean hits that shouldn't be flagged anymore, NFL, looking at you. But I think with Kyle Fuller, I would expect... Look, I think this Rams offense is going to target whoever they want. They're going to try to keep it honest. But I know Jared Goff hasn't had much success looking his way. I know back in 2018, there was a target to him, ends up being intercepted because of Kyle Fuller's hand dislodges the football. And he just hasn't a knack for being in the right place, the right time. And that's credit to his really, I think, his film study. And that's what Jalen Johnson talked about way back, you know, in early April when he got to the team, and saying like, yeah, Kyle Fuller's a guy that's always watching film. Or Eddie Jackson was the one who said, hey, I learned to watch film from Kyle Fuller. We see it on the field. He knows where to be, how to be in the right spot. But if the Rams want to target Kyle Fuller, I'm perfectly fine with it, because I think that more times than not, he's going to make the right play, be in position to allow maybe somebody else in the secondary to benefit from a batted pass or whatever it may be, because that's what Kyle Fuller is doing this season. I think if he continues this, Will, this could be defensive most valuable player of the year awards. I mean, he's playing that way. I really do believe that. And maybe the interceptions are not there, and I think that's going to be the big thing, and if he, you know, gets a pick six or not. But he is playing that caliber of ball right now, and I think if the Rams want to target him, go right ahead.
Right. Have fun, give it a try. But I can't wait, Nick, until one of these years, and it's gonna be way in the future, but when we do like a show dedicated to Kyle Fuller because he's retiring, and again, long time from now, but like just his career and like how quickly it started off so hot, fizzled out, the injury, the whole year off, and then just this steady increase of play and every single year. And it's like, we saw what he did 2018, right? That's awesome. That's impressive. Last year, everyone had an up and down year last year. But then right back to this all-pro level this season, it's so much fun. And he doesn't have a big personality. He's not a talker. And I think if he did have a bigger personality, he'd be such like a megastar in Chicago right now. But since he is secluded, he is quiet, that doesn't really happen. But I hope Bears fans like you and I have a tremendous amount of respect, admiration, and appreciation for Kyle Fuller, because he is a vital part of this Bears defense and a big reason why they can succeed. Like I said, against the Panthers, he literally cut the field in half. And if you can do that, you make offense's job so much difficult. I mean, we know the Bears had to cut the field in half for Trubisky sometimes. So imagine forcing teams to do that when they don't want to. It's a great thing to have there at corner for us. But Nick, from our secondary over to our run defense, and apparently, it is a weekly segment at this point. I feel like every week we have to talk about the Bears' run defense. I was going through preparations, and I was surprised when I saw some of the numbers over the last 3 weeks for the Bears. They've been pretty stellar in terms of yards allowed per attempt. Not yards allowed on the ground in general, but yards per attempt, which I think is a more accurate representation of what a defense is doing against running backs. Only allowing 3.7 yards per carry in the last three games, which is the fourth lowest in the NFL. Throughout weeks 1, 2, and 3, they're allowing over 5 yards per carry, which is like ranked 26th in the NFL. So we went from like bottom five to top five within the last few weeks. Do you have any inkling as to what changed, or was it just getting, you know, acclimated to another season and learning how to live without Eddie Goldman? Because to me, that's probably the biggest one. Everyone had to adjust, figure it out. But I think now they're firing on all cylinders again. I think just like what we talked about the very first segment for this defense, they can still get better, which is very exciting. But to see the turnaround from weeks 1, 2, and 3 from 4, 5, and 6 puts a lot of confidence back that I think you and I were starting to lose in the first few weeks of this season.
Yeah, so, Will, I think it's a combination of a couple things. One, probably getting used to Eddie Goldman is an obvious one. But I think seeing that the linebackers, Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, are playing better football in general, especially when clogging up running lanes, I think that's helping this front seven to contain things a little bit better and not allow these huge running lanes to kind of just open up and these running backs to hit them. So I think that's definitely helping and showing why the numbers are better in the Bears' favor as in the past like couple weeks. And also, like Bilal Nichols, you mentioned the play, Will, on the post-game show about Bilal Nichols kind of sticking his hand out there and making a fantastic play. I went and found that play, and then I just started watching number 98. Bilal Nichols is playing a lot better. Just looking at last week, so much better in that game than he was all of, you know, this season. So if he can continue that, and even, you know, add in a Roy Robertson Harris, who, again, hasn't been as impactful, but if Bilal Nichols continues to own that nose tackle position, he's not a true nose, but if he can learn to play a little bit like an Eddie Goldman, and on that play where you can fit a whole semi-truck through the rushing lane, but Bilal Nichols just sticks his right hand out there and stops Mike Davis for a 3-yard gain when it should have been, you know, 10-plus, easy. That's how big the lane was. So if he can continue that, and then obviously you have all these players that are playing in sync now 7 weeks into this season, you have a recipe for this run defense to really become substantially better, I think, because a lot of factors were just wrong in the beginning. They're starting to fix those things, and again, good luck opposing offense. If they can stop the run, you can't pass, well, you don't have any options left. So that's all that comes down to it.
I'm glad that you found my play and that you were as impressive, not even more impressed than I was watching that play live. Because when I saw it live, I was like, no one was talking about it. I'm like, that was a tremendous play. It happened fast. You're not going to see that one pulled up in a replay or anything like that. Not flashy enough, but I'm glad you saw that. Gave Nichols some of the appreciation. I think John Jenkins' return is going to help. He played a decent amount of snaps last week as well and helps where Nichols doesn't always have to play nose. They can move him back to his more natural fit, move some guys around, and that is another benefit for this Bears defense. And I mentioned, too, Mario Edwards, he's been getting after the passer a lot, but this rotation is so deep up front. I think they're all starting to understand their roles. Chuck Pagano's understanding when to deploy these people, when to place them, when to do some of these stunts. I think they're all just kind of figuring each other out now, and I think that's what we're starting to see some of this uptick, and hopefully they don't make us eat our words when we start to put some of this confidence back into the run defense that was starting to get lost. It's getting reinstilled, and hopefully it can stay that way. And Nick, honestly, I mean, we'll talk about the game specifically here from this point on forward in the show, but the ability to stop the Rams on the ground and put this game in Goff's hands, who has not done well against the Bears in his career, is crucial to the Bears' ability to really just slow down, limit, and control the Rams' offense all game long. So we need to make sure that our listeners know just how imperative that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, anything on, real quickly, special teams, biggest topic of the week, Cairo Santos, Santos' little helper, special teams player of the week. I know he was your MVP. I kind of wanted to do it too, but I did go elsewhere, and having him twice would have been not too crazy, but crazy enough for me. But other than that, which, by the way, kudos, and I think we hit it really well in our post-game show that with that performance, I think he cemented himself, unless he loses his job by suffering and totally having a dip in production, he may have just earned himself a long-term spot at the position this season for the Bears. Again, it's a long season, and they can ride the hot foot as much as they want. But is there anything else on the third phase that you wanted to mention about this week?
No, I mean, I think Cairo Santos, he should be the focal point. He's been playing some really good football. But maybe just to go to the Rams side of things, I think you need to watch out for Webster, number 14. Nisaba, maybe, I think that's how you pronounce his first name. Don't get paid to pronounce names. But number 14, I think he's got some burst out there. So just to kind of give the other side what to watch out for in special teams, that's a guy that if, you know, Cairo Santos does give him an opportunity, you guys better be in your rushing lanes and your lanes going downfield, because I think he has the potential to break a long one, just like a Cordell Patterson has. Oh, maybe we'll see a Cordell Patterson, you know, return. We didn't get to see any of that last week. You know, there weren't any opportunities, and the Panthers weren't going to let him even try it out. But it would be nice to see Cordell Patterson at least get an opportunity to take one, a kick return out for who knows.
I don't know. I feel like it's so Chicago Bears football when you have a returner that teams try to kick away from. It reminds me of a good old days kind of, you know, Chicago Bears mentality. So it did put a smile on my face when they did that last week. But like you, Nick, it's more fun watching Patterson have chances. Even if it's 9 yards deep in the end zone, he gets tackled at the 16. We'll be mad about it at the time, but honestly, it's a pretty good chance for the Bears to get a pretty big play. So, like you, hopefully he does get some opportunities this week. And again, are they going to really try Ted Ginn Jr. at punt returner? Maybe. Is that the best option? No. Why are they doing it? I don't know. I don't want to keep rehashing that, but it really does confuse the living daylights out of me, Nick. But anything else on the third phase, or do you want to do some X Factors?
Let's get to the X Factors, Will.
All right. So getting into our X Factors, Nick, you and I, we prepare one X Factor each on both sides of the football. So let's start with this Bears defense, just because we're talking about them right now or a second ago, and it's a little bit more fresh in our mind. Who are you going with your defensive X Factor here for Bears Rams?
Yeah, so not going out for a particular player, but more so what the Bears need to do for an X Factor to be successful in this game against this Rams offense is really be able to, I think, just it's going to have focus, really, when the Rams run play action, because they are such a, it's almost like every single other play action. Jared Goff's running play, and that's where a lot of the big plays happen. That moves a lot of the linebackers. So looking really, if I have to go to specific players, it's going to be Dane Trevathan, Roquan Smith, not to get influenced. And it definitely doesn't help if the Rams are able to establish a rushing attack. That's where the play action does become more effective. But you watch almost every other play, Jared Goff is turning his back towards the defense, faking that football to the running back, and then flipping, turning his hips, looking to see where he can get a deep throw to. So I think it's going to be the Bears' ability to not get influenced so much on play action that they're out of position, big windows open up behind these linebackers in front of these safeties, and then you're allowing big plays to have for this Rams offense. So staying disciplined, having good eyes just when watching play action, that's going to be an X factor in this one. It's a little different, but I think that's going to be key for this Bears defense to have success.
That's a very fair one. I mean, when I was looking at X factors, I thought secondary versus their playmakers, which they're very good, but we've seen them now for the last few seasons, and we've done a good job of limiting them. And I think the secondary, the one that we have this year, is probably the best one that we've had over the last three seasons. I think they're better than the one last year. Jalen Johnson's an upgrade over Prince Mukamara. I think Buster Skrine, as much as we throw a little bit of shade his way, he's playing better than he did a year ago. And we all know Eddie Jackson's playing at a high level. Tashawn Gibson's playing decently as well. I feel good about that. Up front with the Bears defensive line versus the Rams offensive line, I feel like there's some matchups you can exploit. But overall, I don't think we're going to see a bad game from that unit or an overly dominant game from that unit. So like you, Nick, I'm looking at these linebackers as the big one. I had in my notes specifically Dane Trevathan. Last week, my X Factor was Roquan Smith, and he ended up balling out and needing to do what we needed in order to stop the offense. And so for me this week, I'm looking more at Dane Trevathan because he is that more downhill attacker. And if we are going to get Henderson, and they like to, and if they can get some chunks on the ground, what I saw against the 49ers is they will not be afraid to run it 3, 4, 5, 6 times in a row and wear you down. And so for me, we need the Dane Trevathan that we've seen over the last couple of weeks is how I'm going to frame this X Factor. If we see Dane Trevathan weeks 1 through 3 and the Rams can move the ball effectively on the ground, Nick, that opens up your X factor of the play action. And if Danny's on the field because of the personnel utilization and he's having to overcompensate for being slow and they do suck him up and they are playing some sort of man and he has to go back and find his guy, I mean, we all know that's going to be a recipe for potential disaster for this Bears defense. So for me, Danny Trevathan's ability to stop the run and be the run stopper that we know, shooting the gaps. Last week, he was putting on some big hits near and around the line of scrimmage on Mike Davis. We need him to do the same thing, whether it's Malcolm Brown, whether it's Daryl Henderson. I don't care the name of the guy, but if he's a running back and Jared Goff's handing it off to him and he's running the ball, you attack downhill, you make him pay. Danny Trevathan is doing a great job of that now over the last couple of weeks. Need to see that transfer over, carry over. And I think if we do, that's the recipe to put the ball back into Goff's hands without the play action, which we already mentioned is the best case scenario for this Bears defense, is to have him just drop back, allow Hicks, Mack, Quinn, Mariota, Edwards, Bilal Nichols, everyone to start teeing off and having themselves a day. I love when you can just ramble off a bunch of players that you know can make plays. That's I wish that was the same story for the other side of the ball. We're not there yet, but for this Bears defense, we definitely can. But Danny Trevathan, my X factor on defense. Moving over to the Chicago Bears offense, Nick, before I say who mine is, because I'm going to go first, what is your position?
Offensive line.
Cool. I figured. I mean, there's a – well, we have our back-breaking matchups. Well, I have a specific one. So we'll see how this goes. For me, I'm going tight end for an X factor. Okay. I'm going to go with Jimmy Graham. We did talk about Cole Kmet, but the Rams have allowed 4 touchdowns to tight ends in the last 4 games. Graham, he's second in the NFL, in the entire NFL, not just tight ends, with 4 red zone touchdowns this year. And what I expect to be a low-scoring game, spoiler alert, we'll get there later, it's just one of those big catches in the red zone could be a huge play in this one to really help the Bears in their odds to win this one. A couple key catches as well to sustain drives like we saw last week. I think Foles, we talked about the lack of trust in Anthony Miller. I think you can make the argument that he's building more and more trust with Jimmy Graham over the last few weeks, and I believe you'll start seeing Graham with some of these more crucial third down catches, third down throws to sustain drives on some of these option routes, because they have such a canny ability to Graham knows how to feel the defender, know where the leverage is, and Foles can read it and put the ball where it needs to be. They can find a way to do that, and no matter what the defense shows them, they know how to counter it. That can be a really lethal connection, security blanket for Nick Foles. So when I'm looking at Jimmy Graham, whether it's on one of the Rams linebackers like a Micah Kizer, who he's second on the team in targets and yards allowed, 243 yards allowed and 35 targets, or the safeties, I know John Johnson's having a decent year, but in the red zone, he has allowed 3 touchdowns. So if you can put that big 6'7 Jimmy Graham on him, that's another mismatch for the Bears. And on top of that, I know Rapp, the other safety, is very hit or miss, so it would depend on who they want to put on Graham, but either way, good luck. And we talked about the red zone efficiency. The Rams defense in general, very middle of the road. They're allowing touchdowns on 63% of the trips. So in my notes, I put, let Jimmy Graham eat and do what he does best. And that's honestly, if the Bears can get that out of him, and like I said, what I'm expecting to be a low-scoring game, that to me would be a huge X factor to give this Bears offense the edge here in this game. So for me, Jimmy Graham, and you're looking offensive line, which I was hoping we didn't have to talk too much more about.
No, well, I'll make it very specific, and I'll say Cody Whitehair is my X factor. And the reason I say this is he is the one guy that he's a leader of that offensive line, and to the left of him is Rashad Coward, a very inexperienced and not playing very well like we highlighted earlier. Then you have Jermaine Fetti, who's just in his first season with the Bears. All three of those guys in the interior really had a lot of miscues last week against the Carolina Panthers. You can't have miscues this Monday night against Aaron Donald, and that surprisingly front seven that has 20 sacks, which is looks like 5th in the league. I think it's that number's a little deceiving. Like we talked about it on the guest show yesterday, like they have 20 sacks, but I don't think that front seven is as good as the sacks kind of indicate. So the X factor is just going to be Cody Whitehair getting everybody in position. There's too many times last week watching the film where maybe 2 of the offensive line are going left and then the other side's going right. And you know what happens when you have guys going the wrong directions? You have a huge gaping hole in the middle and a defender is in Nick Foles' face. cannot have that any longer, or just you can't have it as consistent. I'm not going to say that it's going to magically get fixed, because I'm saying it should, but you have to try to make it less consistent than it was last week. So Cody Whitehair tagged with a Juan Castillo now being there, coaching him up throughout the week, and hopefully the in-game adjustments that we talked about, that's going to be huge for whether the Bears actually want to try to establish the run. That's like a joke at this point. Or try to keep Nick Foles upright, which is, I think, really obviously the most important thing. So X Factor, Cody Whitehair, and I would say like communication. So that I think that's going to be key in this game.
All right. I have my work cut out for me when we get to our backbreaking matchups later on. Thank you. Well, I'll figure this one out. But speaking of X Factors, Nick, I know that the X Factors for us are those listeners that make a huge difference by supporting our show with their generous donations. So do you want to let people know how to support the show? I know you have a couple shout outs and I have one, so don't forget about me over here either.
Yeah, so I'll toss it to you before, Will, I say how you can donate and help us out. But we did get a couple of donations this week, and again, thank you so much for everybody that has donated in the past. But I just want to give a special shout out to Garrett, who donated. Thank you so much for, again, the donation. It really helps to make this thing happen. We're here talking every week, Bears football, and your donation really helped out. Thank you so much, Garrett. And then we have Dean Mason. Dean, you gave a generous donation that does not go overlooked between Will and I, from the software that we use, from the camera that I'm looking at you and saying the shout out to. Really appreciate it, Dean. And before I tell you where you can donate to help us out, I'll throw it over to you, Will, for your shout out.
Yeah, I have one that came in through PayPal this week, which goes to Ben Caddy. And Nick, when I read Ben's name, which by the way, Ben, thank you so much for your donation. Nick, I know you mentioned software. We've been toying around with some additional softwares that we can help us maybe enhance our live stream of our show. So the ability for us to even do that was made possible by our donations over the last month. So I want to make sure people know that their impact is felt. It's appreciated and allows us to maybe have a little bit more fun as we kind of toy around with some new tools that we've discovered. And again, always trying to improve our product. But when I saw Ben Caddy's name, Nick, I thought about the Bears 100 weekend when you and I were hanging out at the Caddy Shack restaurant in the hotel for those couple of nights that we were able to have in Rosemont, which was a pretty good time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Actually, my girlfriend and I were around that area, I don't know, maybe a month ago now. I'm like, Will and I, we had a great time at the Caddy Shack. Really long nights, right?
There were some late nights, but
early mornings
late nights, but that's what you do when you're out there with all your your Bears brothers, your Bears sisters, all the way in from around the country there at that convention. One of the best weekends of my life. I know yours as well, and I gotta watch you get your mustache shaved and have to take it all the way down, because you never let someone shave you for free, even if they say they're a professional at it, is the lesson that we learned, which is something that I would definitely make sure everyone listening knows, because you do not want to have that happen to you. Pretty embarrassing, huh?
Yeah, that should be a soundbite. You don't want to let anybody shave you for free. Like, we can take that and just post it somewhere. Like, that's an interesting... Wait, what's going on there? Yeah, that was... won't do that again, but I ended up shaving everything off. To get back to how you could donate to the Chicago Audible, here's how you can make that happen. You can either donate through Venmo or PayPal. And through Venmo, our handle is at the Chicago Audible. Should see my name, should see the Chicago Audible logo. And on PayPal, that's www.chicagoaudible.com/PayPal. And one last time on Venmo, at the Chicago Audible. And on PayPal, it's www.chicagoaudible.com/PayPal.
Awesome. You can look at the live stream later, and you can see what I was trying to do.
I saw that.
Yeah.
It's a cool graphic there. I forgot to mention. I saw it. I'm like, that's cool. See, we're already trying to mess with things. Mm-hmm. But if we get the other software to work, I think it just allows for so many. Who knows? I think a lot of cool things can happen as well.
Yeah, we'll keep it under wraps for now. And fingers crossed we can get through a few roadblocks. But, Nick, it's time to get back to action and talk about this Bears-Rams game. And up next, we have our pivotal matchup, a.k.a. otherwise known as, in case you forgot again, Nick, the backbreaker matchup. And for me, I have an offensive one. And it's okay that you kind of talked about it already, because I think it is the biggest matchup in this game, and I would be lying if I was like, well, it's an easy one. Let's find another one this week. Kind of like I did the week ago. This one's just so important. It just makes so much sense in the world, and I have three of them. I have Jermaine Ifedi versus Aaron Donald. I have Cody Whitehair versus Aaron Donald, and Rashad Coward versus, yeah, you guessed it, Aaron Donald is his name. Donald, he leads all defensive linemen with 36 pressures this year. He has 8 sacks already on this season. That's a 21-sack season pace. And he already had one 20-sack season under his belt. He lines up all over. You'll see him lined up on all three of these players throughout the entire game. And rewatching last year's game, Donald always had his way when he was squared off against a Rashad Coward. He just made him look silly. Like falling backwards with swim moves. Donald's over his shoulder and behind him before I think Rashad Coward even knew the ball was snapped. And he's going to stunt around too. Nick, you talked about the Bears stunting. Against us last year with Aaron Donald, they had him stunting so much. So he's lined up almost in the B gap. So say he's lined up between this game would be like a Fetty and Bobby Massey. The ball would be snapped. He would try to go all the way around and work himself into the B gap to the left side of Rashad Coward at left guard. Like he's really trying to pick some different angles here. And you talked about it. And I'm very proud of you for talking about communication. Because in my notes, I had, it's up to Cody White here because he's the anchor between both of these guards to communicate and also to help out each of his guys, depending on what Aaron Donald's doing on any specific play. But those, not just those bull rushes that he has, or those quick swim moves, like those stunts and his ability to, and how the Rams like to execute and doing almost like little pick plays inside of the defensive line to get two linemen caught up on one defender, allow Aaron Donald to run around him. That's a mouthful. And to get into the backfield in a hurry because he has tremendous speed and get off. That's going to be a very big challenge for the entire interior of the Chicago Bears offensive line. And if Coward can't pick up his play, this obviously is going to be something that can just destroy all of the Bears' plans on offense, whether it's running the football, trying to pass the ball, what have you. So my key here on top of this backbreaker matchup is just get rid of the ball quickly. We know this. Foles has been doing it very well since he's been inserted in as the quarterback for the Bears. I think it's like fourth or fifth fastest time to throw right now in the NFL. But again, if the interior offensive line struggles to contain Donald, again, he's averaging over 6 pressures per game. If it just leads to one big play for that Rams defense in the game, how we're envisioning it to be an ugly kind of game, that's going to really put the Bears in a bind. So it only takes one play for Aaron Donald to wreck the entire game. And I think he has a pretty good shot of getting that play. Just looking how our offensive line has fared. So that has to be the backbreaker for this Bears offense. Switching over to defense, Nick, what's going to be your backbreaking matchup?
Yeah, so I think this one's going to come down to Buster Screen versus Cooper Kupp in the slot there. I think that when you look at Cooper Kupp, he hasn't had maybe the season that he's had in previous years in terms of production and getting into the end zone, only 2 touchdowns on the season. But he does have 18 receiving first downs, which does lead the team right now for the Rams. And if you just look at the tape last week against the 49ers, he easily could have had his 3rd touchdown of the season, but Goff and Kupp were, I get there's miscommunication on 2 plays, actually. There's a deep ball where Kupp is in the slot against the nickel defender, gets behind him. But for some reason, Cooper Kupp looks over the wrong shoulder, ball falls incomplete. And then Cooper Kupp dropped a touchdown in the end zone. So they're looking to target him. And Buster Screen's been someone that has been targeted. You have to target somebody in this Bears secondary, so teams have thought Buster Screen is going to be the guy that you're going to try and get yards against. And look, he did give up some last week against the Carolina Panthers, but nothing too big. Had DJ Moore caught that one pass on 4th down, then maybe we're talking about a different story. That's Buster Screen in coverage. But I think really the backbreaker is going to be him against Cooper Kupp. If you remember last year in the 2019 matchup between the two on Sunday Night Football, that was the play where Cooper Kupp has a 50-yard reception. Buster Screen's in coverage, late to get over there. It gets ruled a touchdown initially, but Cooper Kupp gets pushed out of the bounds at the 1-yard line. The Rams go on to score, I think, on the very next play, but you can't allow that to happen, these big plays to happen. The Rams' offense really struggled, and I think a big part of it last week against the 49ers, a big part, Cooper Kupp didn't have a really good game, or there were miscues between him and Goff. So I think the backbreaker matchup is going to come down to how well Buster Skrine can hold up against Cooper Kupp. But if that front seven for the Bears is revving up and getting after Goff, can make his job a lot easier.
Yep. That's you're right. And that's the big one when you're looking at all their playmakers and how they stack up. I feel confident Kyle Fuller. We've expressed that fully. The safeties as well. Jalen Johnson, even though he gives up plays, he doesn't, and he gives up some big ones, but his short memory will allow him not to make consistent big play allowed after another. And Buster Skrine, as we know, he's the weakest of the bunch. And that's not a knock. I mean, there's always going to be a weakness of any unit, and he's the one for the Bears. And with Kupp and how much he plays in a slot, it just makes a lot of sense. So for me, Nick, those are two back-breaking matchups. Those make a lot of sense. Are you ready to find out, I should say, who has the edge?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, guess what? You're up first. Bears run offense versus the Rams run defense.
Well, I think you made it easy for me because I'm going to go with the Bears.
Bears. Okay, tell me more.
Yeah, I wish I could. I'm going to go with the Rams run defense until the Bears rushing attack really shows me something. And you can't take anything positive from last week. You really can't. The only thing, there were a couple of good runs that happened later in the game. And I'm going to credit that to David Montgomery more than anything, showing patience for somewhat of the line or the wall that was created from this Bears offense line. He got to the edge a couple times. So I'll give him that credit. But really, this Bears offensive line is in bad shape. Maybe it does play a little bit better now that Juan Castillo is going to be there. But unless there's a change, they sign somebody, I don't know if you can expect it to get that much better. And that's sad to say. That's just what the Bears have been dealt with on offense. So I'll give it to the Rams run defense. And really, I mean, they're a good unit. But I think I'll take anybody right now against the Bears rushing attack. They haven't shown me anything in the past couple of weeks that would make me go in the other direction.
And we talked about that last week, right? Like, they need to do something to give us any confidence, and they're not. Real quickly, before I give my next edge, I did see a comment in the chat, and I did check the Bears' Twitter, and I can confirm that Buster Skrine did not practice today with an ankle. Something to also consider. I think, though, Nick, that just exasperates your point. So if Skrine's unable to go and they have to make an adjustment, which I would assume would be Kendall Vildor, you don't think Duke Shelley, right?
No, yeah, I would think Kendall Vildor would get the knock over.
So that's another inexperience would play a huge factor as well. So whoever's that nickel corner, regardless, I think I'm not going to say Skrine won't play yet. I think it's early enough in the week. This is their first injury report day just because they play on Monday night. I don't think we should dive too much into it because he played fine. He didn't seem like he was too hindered on the game against Carolina, but I think that would just almost make your X factor bigger if it's just nickel corner in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully that's not the case. It's still early in the week somewhat, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I appreciate that too, to make sure. Let's go get Kyle Waddle inside of the chat there on YouTube. Thank you, Kyle, for pointing that out. As much as we put in efforts and preparations for the show, Nick, I know you have a full-time job. You have a grad school. I'm doing full-time job work too, so things get missed within a couple of hours before doing the recording, so that's always super helpful. So getting back to the edges, I have Bears pass offense versus that Rams passing defense, and honestly, Nick, that's an interesting one. And to me, it's all about perspective and what an edge means. I know I almost take this as a huge question each week. Like, what is the edge? And how can I find a way to make it in the Bears' favor? It feels like. But if you look at this one specifically, outside of Aaron Donald, the Rams do not have much of a pass rush. So if the Bears can limit Donald, that should help. The Rams are a top 10 defense in terms of pass rating allowed, only allowing an 87.9 in the season and in yards allowed. They're middle of the pack in terms of coming away with big plays like interceptions, but they are the best defense in net yards gained per passing attempt. That sounds like a lot of words for a stat. That just means every time a quarterback throws the ball, they average 5.5 yards gained. Now, the Rams don't allow many big plays through the air, obviously with that stat, and that's the lowest number in the NFL allowed. But here's the thing. The Bears don't make a lot of big plays on offense anyway. We know that. They don't make big plays through the air. They're going to take their time moving the ball, even if Nick Foles is throwing it every single play. I also think that the Bears will get some good production from their backs, their tight ends in the passing game. Again, maybe with the backs, it is more of an extension of the running game that Nick mentioned hasn't given us much confidence right now. But the Rams do a pretty good job of limiting receivers. Only three receivers this season have gotten 80 or more yards against them. Do I think the Bears will do enough passing it against the Rams? Yeah, but are they really the better unit between the two, between the Rams secondary and the Bears passing attack? No. So I'm going to give the edge here to the Rams. Switching over to our defense, I have Bears running defense versus Rams rushing offense. And the Rams have two, maybe three very capable backs. Henderson and Brown are the two I'm focusing on here. Henderson, he should see the majority of the touches. He rushed for 80 or more yards in three games so far this season. But in the other three games, he's had less than 38 yards. So he's very inconsistent at best. And I don't think I need to overcomplicate this one. I'm going to take a deep breath and just put some trust that this run defense are as improved as we think they can be. They can become a top 10 run defense in the NFL still this season. I don't expect the Rams' run game to really blow apart the Bears' game plan. And if the Rams, as we've seen, as we heard from our guests, they're prone, just like the Bears, from ditching the run. So if the Bears can find a way to make that one dimensional offense, as we've already talked about, it's going to put the game right into the Bears' hands. That's going to be the key. The key is stopping the run. Bears know that. I think they'll come ready for it. So for me, I'm going to give the edge here to that Bears defense. It's only allowing 3.7 yards per attempt over their last three games. And I think they can bottle up Henderson. We've seen the Bears with the same offense bottle up Todd Gurley in the past multiple times. So for me, I'm ready to see it yet again. Another running back, but it doesn't really matter. So for me, edge to the Bears. Nick, over to you. Bears passing defense versus that Rams passing attack.
You know, I have to go with the Bears passing defense because Jared Goff is a quarterback that's going to be leading that Rams passing offense, and he has not had success against this Bears team. I mean, look, you just look at the stats from the past two games in 2019, 11 of 18. So they didn't ask him to pass as much. They didn't. But 11 of 18, 173 yards, zero touchdowns, one interception. And then in the game in 2018, which was just a crapshoot of a game for any offense on that Sunday night, 20 of 44, 180 yards, zero touchdowns, four interceptions. So in that game, like comparing those two, Jared Goff only threw seven more yards despite having 26 more passing attempts in that 2018 game than he did just last year. So he has not had success, whether it's been Vic Fangio as a DC or Chuck Pagano. And I think that continues, especially because we talked about it, Will. This Bears defense is just getting started. So Jared Goff, he was missing a lot of passes just last week against the 49ers. And the pass rush for the 49ers wasn't even that good. There were no sacks in that game. So Jared Goff, I think, is going to be seeing ghosts, a lot, very similar to what Sam Darnold was seeing, earlier this season, whatever it was. But I think that's going to be a problem for Jared Goff. So I have to take the Bears passing defense.
I just love, you know, the stats that Goff has had over the last couple games versus the Bears. I mean, five interceptions thrown, no touchdowns thrown. It's, you feel like they have his number, whether it be Vic Fangio, Chuck Pagano, just his Bears defense in general. I think they know how to limit Jared Goff, and I'd be interested to see if the Rams maybe do have to try something new this week that they've been kind of saving or hiding, just because if they do the same old song and dance, I don't think it's going to yield them the results that they need. Now, again, they can do that all they want. Nick, you and I will not complain, but I do feel like they're going to have some wrinkle or two that maybe the Bears haven't seen. But even then, is that enough? I don't think so. But would be curious to see if something like that does happen here. But Nick, it's time to move into the final portion of our show and enter our predictions. And we have to begin, like we always do, with our bold prediction. So what is going to be your Week 7 bold prediction?
Good. I'm glad I got this all done. Not going to lie, I wasn't as prepared, but I got all those numbers right here, Will. I think the Bears defense is going to have its best game overall in every category that you can statistically look at a defense compared to what they've done this season. So they'll have the lowest, they'll give up the lowest number of rushing yards, which was 75. They'll give up 74 total rushing yards. In terms of passing yards, their lowest mark this season is 186. They'll get below that with Jared Goff as quarterback. They'll give up less points, which from their lowest mark, 13. I don't want to give away my final score. I'll say they'll go lower than that. And the defense will have an interception, a fumble, and a safety. We went trifecta. If that was a parlay, I'd be rich. That's what would happen if all that happened. But that's what's going to happen. It's going to be the best game we've seen out of this Bears defense. I went bold. Bold or go bold or go home? No?
Yeah, I like go bold or go home. I can get behind go bold or go home. So, although I think we're both at home right now, so I guess we don't have to go bold.
Where do we go?
Where do we go from here? I don't know. So for me, Eddie Jackson has a pick six, and the referee has the flag in his hand and is really thinking about throwing it, but then he pockets it. That's a bold prediction, but no. But for real, this one may not sound like crazy, and it's not involved as yours. It's one player, two stats, and I'm going to say it, and you're going to be like, no way in hell, and that's right, but that's what makes it a bold prediction. How about a 300-yard, three-touchdown day from Nick Foles?
That is bold, Will. That's a bold one. I mean, it hasn't been done, but we'll see what happens.
Right? I mean, they've only given up, the Rams have 8 passing touchdowns this year. And, oh, by the way, the Bears defense have only given up 4 passing touchdowns this year, which is the lowest in the NFL, and no one else has less than 7. So it's like 4 for the Bears, and then a bunch of 7s, and then the Rams at 8. So just wanted another awesome, let's pump up the Bears defense while we can kind of moment. But yeah, I figured that sounded bold, and I would love to have a kind of game like that where things, I mean, Nick Foles is like that passion. If you can bring that passion that we've been hearing, we heard about post game. I listened to his presser earlier today, and he seemed to have some of it still, like really believing in his guys and what they're doing, and knows that it's going to click here eventually. And I would love for it to click here on Monday night. And if he has that kind of performance under the lights, national television, against the team that, you know, everyone is big on, I think that cements the Bears as real contenders here in the NFC. So, again, bold prediction. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But if it does, at least it's my bold prediction, and I can have I can hit on that. So, Nick, let's go ahead and predict who is going to be our MVB when it's all said and done. So, for you, Nick, who do you think will be the MVB come the end of the game?
Yeah, I think it's going to be definitely somebody on the defense, and I don't even know, we probably have mentioned his name maybe once or twice, but I think it's going to be Khalil Mack. It's a prime time. Again, we've talked about this matchup now 3 times now. It's Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack. They're on the same football field. Hoorah, right? The two best defensive players in the game. But, and I know I must have said something along the lines last year, Khalil Mack's going to outshine Aaron Donald. Can this be the game? Can we see? It's, look, Khalil Mack, whatever he does, is probably going to be great come Monday night. It really is. But I want to see Khalil Mack just dominate. This is an opportunity for him to really go against this Rams offensive line and just wreak havoc, and especially because everybody else is playing such good football around him. And I think he's going to be the biggest beneficiary of that and just have maybe some one-on-one matchups and just exploit guys. So when it's all said and done, Khalil Mack's going to be a part of probably 2. We'll do 2 of my bold predictions. Like I said, an interception, fumble, safety. He's going to be a part of the reason why the Bears get the fumble, a forced fumble, and get the safety.
I love how you always find a way to mesh your bold prediction with another prediction. It's a lot of fun. It's an art form, and kudos. It's something I look forward to each and every week. You do a great job for it. Nick, me, I guess I'm doing the same, but not really. I have Nick Foles as my MVB prediction here. In a game like this one, I think he's going to have to be on. He's not going to need to squander the game. He just really needs to manage this game, and he needs to have a clean performance. He has to find a way to – he doesn't need to have the biggest of numbers. He doesn't need to adhere to my bold prediction, although no one's going to complain if he does. But he needs to, and I think he will, orchestrate drives. He's going to make some big throws, and he's going to put this team in a spot to win. And he's not going to put this Bears defense in bad spots unnecessarily. I'm sure you and I, it's a Bears game. It's going to come down to a single score. It's going to come down to the final drive, the final possession. In a game that like this that matches up so evenly, it can really come down to turnovers or limiting turnovers. And I think with the Bears' inability to run the ball, we're going to have to see Nick Foles put the ball in his hands a lot. The last time we saw that happen from a Bears quarterback against the Rams, I'm looking at 2018. Mitch had a very rough go at it. I don't think you see that same kind of performance out of Foles. And imagine that 2018 game if we had someone like Foles that wouldn't turn the ball over that many times. Maybe that game wasn't nearly as close, because that was Goff threw an interception. Now Mitch threw one back. And it was just back and forth, and it was ugly. And if Nick Foles can just not have an ugly game and allow the Bears' defense to make things difficult for the Rams, again, the whole defense as a unit, I think, will be firing. And that's why it's hard to find an MVP on that side of the ball. And I know they're not going to run the ball well. The Bears won't. So it has to go to Foles. And I think just game management is enough this week. And actually, I had this all down this morning when I did my prep. And then listening to his presser, he's like, I just need to do what it takes to win. I'm not here to score 1,000 fantasy points. I just need to do what I need to do in order for us to be in a position to win. And I'm like, is he reading my notes, or do I have like some interconnection with Nick's in the world? Because you and I think a lot alike, and then Nick Foles is saying what I'm writing down in my notes, and that made me feel pretty good when I was cooking dinner listening to that there on my phone. But yeah, Nick Foles is going to be my prediction for MVP. So Nick, over to you. Game pick. We're both 4-2 so far this year, so the Bears are better than us, and I'm glad to say it. But 4-2 on the year. We're going to be tied all year long. It's fine, though. Maybe not. We'll see what you're thinking of this game going. So without further ado, Nick, what's going to be your game pick?
Yeah, so I'm going with the Bears, Will. I think just how we framed it up this podcast, we like the matchups and like what the Bears can potentially do, especially that defense against Jared Goff. And to make sure my bold prediction somehow factors into what this game score could be, it's going to be an 18-12 game. So they're going to score, the lowest points, remember, is 13. So the Rams will score 12. And you know what? I really wanted to make this 9 because the Rams kicker, not very good at field goals. But we'll give them 12 just to make it safe. And the Bears, so they would have to score a safety, a touchdown, and 3 field goals. I think that's math, and that's how you get to 18, if I could do that right. So 18-12 Bears.
You can get to 18 a lot of ways. You can get 3 touchdowns and miss every single extra point.
No, we're not doing that.
You're not doing
Cairo
that?
Santos. We're having a very different conversation with Cairo Santos if that's happening.
You can have
18-12.
You can have 1 touchdown, 3 field goals, and a safety?
That's what I said.
Oh, dang it. Well, how about you just do a safety, 3 field goals, and a touchdown? Flip the order. Boom. It's different. Right?
I guess.
No, it's not. So, Nick, you and I always think alike. I think you listened to my prediction that we did on our guest show last night for his podcast, because I took the 18 and you stole it from me. So I should have went first, because now people think I'm stealing it from you. But I have the Bears 18. I have the Rams scoring 13. So very close indeed, but I don't think I need to rehash it. It's going to be another one of those low-scoring defensive games that, as Bears fans, I think we're all going to expect happening. Rams, they may as well. But I think a lot of people from the outside, they're going to be like, what kind of trash is this game? And why am I watching it? Even though I think it's everything that we're going to come to expect from a Bears game. So it's going to be one of those, Nick, like you. It's close. And like I said, for my MVP, it's going to come down to the final possession. Whoever has the ball with a few minutes left, it's going to have a chance to win this game, either icing it or putting themselves over the top with a lead. It's going to be one of those games like every single week here in 2020 for the Bears. So 18-13 is my final score prediction, and I was feeling pretty good after my last one. It came pretty close, so we'll see if, I guess I can say me, but I guess you and I can both be very close on this one together. So, Nick, any I guess you do have final thoughts, because we need to do our confidence meter. So tell me, how confident are you that the Bears actually do win? I mean, we both have them projected to win, but how likely or how confident are you, scale 1 to 10?
Yeah, we both have them winning, but they're both a one score game. So I'm gonna, and it's been close with all the matchups with the Bears and Rams. Total 45 points scored between both teams in both matchups. 45 points, not very high scoring, not a big margin of victory. So confidence, so I'm at like a 6.8 that the Bears will win this, and we're right on.
I had a 6.9, which
I was gonna do that.
Imagine we both would have 6.9, the comments that would have been happening here on this show. But I'm glad you went 6.8. You had 18-12, though, right, was your score?
18-12, yep.
So you had the Bears winning by one more point, yet you're 1 point less confident than me because I had a 6.9 and you're doing the 6.8 because I had a 5-point margin of victory. You have a 6, and yet I'm apparently a little bit more confident than you. That's interesting in its own right, but continue. 6.8 for you.
Yep, and I think, look, it's been such a close matchup, and I mean, you're right there. We're in the same exact ballpark of where this game could go, and I think come Monday night when people are watching this game, well, they're just going to be like, haven't we seen this before between these two teams? Because there have been primetime matchups. Mm-hmm. And it's been Sunday night, and now Monday night. Like, you should know by now, this is not going to look good.
No, it's our luck. You know, we say all this, and it's going to be the one weird game, the anomaly. It's like a 45-42 slugfest offensive battle. No, it's not, but no. Not at all. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm at a 7. Concerns with the offensive line's huge. Their inability to help us establish a run, their inability to keep folds clean. Aaron Donald, real concerns, and I do think I have more faith in the Bears' defense to do what it needs to do. I just hope that if the Bears can keep the Rams under, we both had 12 and 13 points, but if they can keep them under 20 points, you have to hope that the Bears can find enough offense in this one. I think we've seen teams prove you can score on the Rams this year. We've seen it, and hopefully the Bears can be one of those teams that can be a part of that equation as well. But yeah, if the Bears' defense can do what I think it should be able to do against this offense, to me, it all just comes down, like it almost feels like it does every week, for this Bears offense's ability or inability to score points. And hopefully they're more prone to finding points than not this week. And I think that's what's going to come down to. Defense, I'm confident in. If this is Bears defense versus the Rams, I'd be up there like the nines. But this Bears offense it drags it down just a little bit. So, Nick, any final thoughts as we wrap things up here?
Yeah, I think this is another good test. Like what we were saying last week against the Carolina Panthers, we're going to see this Bears team and see what it can do against good competition, I think. And the Rams are going to be thinking the exact same thing coming into this matchup against the Bears. So we'll see what happens. We do have to wait a extra day to see the end result. And that just makes me a little bit more antsy. Like on Sunday, like I'm watching all the football games. It's great and all, but it's not my Bears. So, and we already talked about what we're going to do in place of that, but it should be I don't want to say it's going to be a good game. We just said how ugly it's going to be, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what this Bears team can do in prime time against an opponent that they're very familiar with.
And the last time they're in prime time this year against a big test, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, they passed it. So let's see if they can do it again. Two big wins on the national stage through 7 weeks. They can finish 6-1. Nick, I don't care if the game's ugly. That's a great result, and that's a great start to your season, and all smiles to be had by you, me, our listeners, all the other Bears fans that don't know about us yet, but one day will find us. We'll all be happy about the result, no matter how ugly it is. At least I would hope. There's always going to be a few that's not. But I'm at the point now where if you can find a way to another win here, it's hard to deny some of the results you're seeing, especially against the Rams here yet again. But Nick, thank you for your time today, sir. It's always a good time getting to talk Bears football like you. Extra day to sit and ponder how this thing will go is always fun, but we'll see how it shakes out. I want to thank everyone for listening to our live show here on YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, to our -1 viewer that we always get on Twitch. Thank you so much as well. To the thousands of people, though, worldwide that listen to our podcast, no matter which country, which state, where you are in the world, just know that we appreciate each and every one of you. I hope you feel more prepared for this game than you did before you started listening to the show. That is our goal, to make you the most informed Bears fan on game day. Make sure to rate, review our show on Apple Podcasts. That helps us find more Bears fans, or technically they find us, and perhaps lead to some extra sponsorship opportunities for us. Those numbers do help us kind of display our passionate audience and listener base that really do help some of those conversations. But until then, until next time, have a great weekend. Enjoy your Sunday if you're watching football. Find some good games. Find Red Zone. relax, have a good time. If you're one of the Bears fans that you can't do it because you just need to get ready for the Bears game, enjoy your Sunday plans. Maybe you're getting some pumpkins, doing some fall festivities with your family. Whatever you're doing, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday night, some of you Tuesday morning, for a Bears postgame show. And hopefully we are talking about a Chicago Bears team that is 6-1 and looking to prove themselves as contenders here in the NFC. So have a great weekend. Talk to you then. Until next time, Bear down, Chicago. Bear down.